Hercules, the Cyclops tore off my clothes.
Ha 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 ha!
Hello, and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how are you?
I am very well, Terry. Very, very well. How are you?
I too am well.
I'm glad to hear it, buddy.
Good, good, good. How's the week been treating you?
It's been pretty good. We are finally... Now, I don't normally go with the whole, you know, like... social media memes and or like, you know, like, oh, is this month ever going to end? But this because I've been seeing that online so much, everybody agreeing that this has been like the longest month of all time. But it has been a very long January, and I for one am glad to see February.
I always love February.
Birthday month.
Yes.
2-2-2. I'll never forget. Yeah. Again.
You son of a bitch.
What episode have we got for the fine people this week, Terry?
We have got season 4, episode 13. Spooky Selma's Choice.
Yes, indeed. May I hit you with a bit of trivia for this episode?
Sure. Go ahead.
Well, excuse me. Right. So, the writer for the episode, David Stern, he said...
Great name.
Yeah, I know. He said he wanted to do a Patty and Selma episode because he liked it so well when he wrote Principal Charming, which I don't know if you remember, was in like season 2.
I remember.
Yeah.
But nothing much. She's a heifer.
Like, Principal Skinner is supposed to be fixed up with Selma, but he... falls in love with Patty or something like that.
Yeah. Patty.
And apparently, like, the animators had trouble with the size of the characters' pupils this season, which I have noticed. Their eyes are massive in season 4. And in this episode, they are noticeably larger. I do like it, but sometimes it's just so out there where I'm like, Jesus. Like, you know, like that sort of... what's that guy in all those Mel Brooks movies? Like, hello, my baby. Or what is it like?
Marty Feldman.
Marty Feldman, yeah. Those eyes just pointing in opposite directions. They kind of look like that to me.
Yeah, he's great. Great guy. Hilarious. Very funny man.
Did you know that, well, first of all, this is the first episode featuring Jub-Jub.
Yes,
and
of course.
Jub-Jub was, the name Jub-Jub came from Conan O'Brien. Which I do believe. What a gem he is. The episode itself aired... hold on, I'm just going to take a drink here, Terry. The episode aired on January 18th, 1983.
Not even recording 5 minutes and we're off the rails.
Let me just scratch my ass here. Nielsen rating of 14.2. And it was pretty well received. The author of Planet Simpson, How a Cartoon Masterpiece Defined a Generation, says it fills the usual grab bag of great gags, had some crowd-pleasing moments, and the last few minutes of the show played out to continuous laughter. Which I would pretty much agree with, to be honest. But I don't have a huge amount of... inside scoops for you this week, I'm afraid.
I got a few little tidbits.
Ooh.
Here's one for you. Of the immediate Simpson family, Lisa is the only one that has never been fully naked at any period of time. Her scene near the end of the episode,
the lizard dressed,
dressed in only a towel, yes, is the closest she's ever come to being completely naked.
That's interesting.
Yes.
I guess that,
also,
yeah.
Also, when she drinks... sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, I guess they can't really do Elisa being naked.
Yeah.
Although I still hold true that in that Simpsons roasting on an open fire bit where she's on stage, she's basically naked in that.
Fucking hell, yeah.
Sure, somebody got fired for that. Sick one.
Freaks. When she drinks the water in this episode, she sees an image of Selma that resembles the artwork of Ralph Steadman, who was often associated with, like, psychedelia. You know, that sort of, like, weird, I don't know if it's, like, Fabulous Freak Brothers type stuff, you know?
Like Fear and Loathing sort of stuff?
Kind of, yeah. That sort of trippy acid, stuff. Heavy stuff.
Interesting.
Also, just a little, this is the last one I have, a little running joke. The woman who is the Interstate diner, the fine restaurant waitress, and the sperm bank receptionist are all the same female character, right down to the voice and uniform.
And the same appearance and everything?
Yes.
I didn't get that.
When we get into the episode, I did pick up on it. I have it in my notes down here. Anyway.
That's interesting.
That's not, you know, in terms of, did you get what the blackboard gag was?
You know what? I think I missed it this week. What was it?
It was Bart writing, "I will not yell, she's dead," at roll call.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yes. Little prick.
What was your couch gag?
What was your couch scene?
My one was they were running to the couch and they get caught up in a net that they're just hanging from then.
Yeah, that's the same. But yeah. Their eyes are glued. They're still watching TV.
You know what?
I think we're starting to roll with these couch gags.
I was just going to say, I'm kind of liking, I kind of like this couch gag. It was more just of the swiftness that they were caught up, you know, like they're running and the net's already on the ground. It's just all very seamless. So it got a little exhale through the nostrils for me.
And I'm just noticing here, on my script that I'm looking at, right? You know, because you know the way we're always talking about scenes that are cut out, like we were talking about with the triple bypass, the extra scenes of like Chief Wiggum in his Bad Cops TV show and all.
Oh yeah.
I'm looking at my script here, and there's a little thing at the top that says, "Curly braces indicate scenes cut in syndication."
Huh.
So even in the script, they have it updated for.
That's mad.
I don't know why they have to cut it for a syndication. It never makes any sense. It's not like the ones they cut are like really offensive. I know they do it for time, but like.
But like, why would they how could they have it at one stage and then, you know, fine, and then now it's like what the shows have to be like 20 and a half minutes long instead of 21 minutes or something like that?
Yeah. You know who we need to ask about this?
Whom?
Shane O'Neill. If you're out there, Shane, and
does
I know
he
you
understand?
Are, he's Mr. TV Advertising Marketing.
Shane, hit us up. Why do they do that? So why do they do this?
It's probably selling ad space, and they're trimming off 2 minutes in this half-hour slot or whatever it is. That's my theory, anyway.
I'd be interested to find out.
I expect an email.
Speaking of, well, it's not quite an email. We got a comment from pal of the show, Niall McNamara. Said cheers for the shout out.
Al Screwy himself,
the web snake himself. thank you. I'm sure I've mixed up two nicknames there. The web pirate, even better. Anyway, he said he has a question. Which food or drink product from the world of The Simpsons would you like to try? I want to eat nuts and gum in a can and wash it down with some crab juice.
Ooh. Tell you what I've always wanted to try.
Yes?
Buzz Cola. One sip and I'm totally hip. It seems like the most acidic soft drink in the history.
It seems like that Jolt Cola that used to be around back in the day.
No, remember that stuff? God.
I tell you what I wouldn't mind, Terry. A couple of things come to mind. First of all, yeah. a nice glass of milk.
Only comes in cartons, mate.
Of course. The the gummy Venus, the Milo, comes to mind as well.
Oh, yeah.
That
sour ball, I wouldn't mind.
What?
The world's most sour ball in the world.
I like that one.
I don't know.
But you know what actually always struck me as looking particularly delicious was Krusty Burgers.
No.
Oh, I like the look of them.
Wouldn't be for me now. Maybe a trip to Greasy Joe's Bottomless Barbecue Pit. Nice little callback to Principal Charming there as well, nice. Same episode.
Full circle.
Oh, and the sauce, Andy. You could drink a bucketful.
But Krusty Burger has the partially gelatinated non-dairy gum-based beverages, I think you're forgetting.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, they had them too. Called them shakes.
But I don't know. I can't really think of much more.
Is there like a fried chicken type thing that would be particularly tasty?
Not that I can think of.
Or
can I interest you in a Guatemalan insanity pepper?
From the, I can't even remember where it's from.
Wasn't it one, Find Your Soulmate?
From the, yeah. No, I mean, Wigan was like, from the spicy forest of Tezcatlipoca, or something like that.
Just glowing maybe, neon orange.
Maybe some of Flanders 5 Alarm chili.
Are we going to jail, maybe Dad?
We'll see. It's 2 Alarm at best.
I was just trying to look like a big man in front of the kids.
You know, I'm trying to think of the other sort of fast food restaurants that are in Springfield. I don't care for donuts, but those Lard Lad donuts.
I love a donut, very good. Those Lard Lad donuts I'd have. There's donuts actually that they sell in the shop around the corner from you, which I helped myself to last week. No, I paid for it.
Don't mention their name. They're not paying us.
But there's donuts there that I just think when I see them, that's a Simpsons donut. You know those ones with like the full-on pink icing and like sprinkles? The Otis... No, I'm sorry. I'm going to name them for the most ridiculous name of all time. Otis Spunkmeyer Donuts. Why is that all right?
What?
That's the brand name of like a really popular American brand of donuts. They sell them beside the coffee machine next to your Spar. It's like Otis Spunkmeyer.
Oh, you said the name!
Damn it. I'll bleep it out in post.
And then it'll be a competition. Guess the shop.
Yes. Free t-shirt.
Well, thanks for the question, Niall.
Yes, thank you very much.
Keep them coming, guys.
I'm sure as soon as I hang up the mic, I'll say, yes, that's what I should have said. Because I'm sure there's like a shitload of more things you could have mentioned. But yes, excellent question.
What a marriage breakfasts wouldn't go amiss, you know.
Depends what season you're talking though. Is it just a plate of slop?
Yeah, I wouldn't want one of Homer's space age moon waffles, as we discussed on Homer the Heretic.
I don't know though. Something appeals
to
me.
I would have liked. I tell you that. Remember that pig he was gonna cook at the
BBBQ.
The BBBBQ, the extra B's with BYOBB.
What's that B for?
It's a typo.
I love those jokes. Those and Doc Dorb.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's for bargain. Okay, so let's kick off this episode.
Please.
We start off in... It's a real non sequitur we start off, where it's a motorcycle and a load of flaming buses. And it could only be Daredevil Lance Murdoch.
Great name.
Making his first appearance on our podcast.
Oh, on our podcast, Is this his first ever appearance?
No, because the first appearance is actually in the Truckosaurus episode.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, Oops. Bart the Daredevil.
Oh, of course, Lance Murdoch.
I love... Yeah, I love how he jumps over it, you know, the school buses are on fire. Lance makes it over, not a bother, and then crashes into the wall. Hard. Yeah, as he's waving. And we get an announcer who sounds very familiar.
Who is it?
Sounds like our old pal Phil Hartman channeling Troy McClure. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice it was Phil Hartman, but I did notice in general in this episode, Phil Hartman does do a lot of voices in it, which I appreciated. Yeah.
It's the kind of, it's almost to the Troy McClure voice, but not quite. Like
he's like, he's like, what are you gonna do now?
I'm going to Duff Gardens.
I was a big fan of the gag when they had when they were showing Duff Gardens and it was like Home of the Whiplash, and he's going up the thing. He's like, to be completed in 1994. Yeah,
this whole sequence of Duff Gardens stuck with me so much as a kid. I used to always
really,
like that gag of the Whiplash one.
Yeah,
as I watched it, I was like, so he's dead.
Basically.
Yeah, and then it's like, the next one is the washing machine. It's like, again, still in traction, strapped into this thing. That's just like spreading the water on him.
I was a particular fan of the happiest fish in the world at our fabulous beer aquarium. The most miserable looking fish.
When he says beer aquarium, I was like, that's Troy McClure. And the fish is just banging against the side of the
just
giant
swimming in beer, and they're just slowly dying in there.
I like how Homer immediately grabs his keys out. They're going straight away.
Warm up the car.
So then they're putting on their jackets and such, and Homer briefs them what to do. What do you say when you get to the ticket booth?
We're under six.
And I'm a college student. I still use that college student trick.
Do you?
Fake student card, buddy.
Oh, of course.
Cinema, bus, rail, you motherfucker. You name it. Screw the government, that's what I say.
We used to have an old scam going in art school, Reese, where, I don't know if you remember it, where you'd get like a bus ticket, but you'd fill out the form or whatever in pencil, and then you get it stamped or signed by the school secretary, and then you just go back and rub out the pencil and put in pen, like the fake age that you want, and then you get...
Guard ID?
Yeah. Oh, no, it wasn't a guard ID. It was like some sort of bus thing, but like sometimes people accepted it or something like that. Worked a couple of times for me, I remember.
I used to be... My trick was... Get somebody who looked semi like their old passport or driver's license.
Oh, yeah.
Going so far one time as to, like, it was somebody who didn't really look like me. Looked like me if they squished my head and my cheeks had sort of pushed out. If I had, like, a rugby ball head, but not standing up, standing on its side.
Brilliant.
And he had a pair of glasses, so I went as far as to get... Well, I had glasses in the house, wearing them down till your man like let me in with the ID, then the glasses would come off straight away. Like.
Let's party.
So I had my own props. Yeah.
Props. Tony.
Now let me tell you something, Mr. Sucker.
It's like, whoa, I haven't let you in yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I remember Tony used to have, he only... put the video up again of that Bernard Brogan passport to him and
Bernard
his mates.
Bernard Brogan,
And he's like, we would literally pass it back to each other in the queue. So I just thought that was funny. Brilliant. That bouncers fell for it.
Let's get back on track here. Anyway, Marge comes in. She has some bad news. She's afraid her great aunt Gladys has passed on.
Gladys. About yay high, blue hair, big dent in her forehead.
No, Gladys looked more like your Aunt Patty.
Oh, yeah. So they'll have to go to Duff Gardens another time. There's a buzzkill.
Yeah. Well, the kids, I like this gag. The kids are like, no use complaining about something you can't change. It's like, we understand. It's like, Homer like, I want to go to the gardens. Yeah. Right now. Marge's like, Homer, quit pouting. I'm not pouting. I'm mourning. Stupid dead woman. I like that. I'm mourning.
Stupid dead woman.
Yeah. Now, listen, I mean, I don't know. I got some feedback on enjoying when I point out plot holes, but it's very rare that, you know, you get an announcement in the mail of the funeral and then it's the same day that it's...
So they're just going, lucky it arrived that day.
Yeah, lucky we were here to collect their mail.
But was it in the mail that they got it?
Well, Marge came in holding a piece of paper, like, so...
Yeah, interesting. Jeez, I miss all of these things.
But when even then, like, you know, it's like, nah, forget it.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
So they're in the car, and they're all dressed up in their funeral garb. Great. Like Homer and Bart bonding here. On top of spaghetti, all covered with cheese, oh, that's and that's my meatball. I love Marge is actually great.
Furious.
If you don't mind, we're on our way to a funeral.
Marge makes a very good straight man or straight woman, yeah, you know, for Homer.
And then, of course, he switches to ding dong, the witch is dead.
Witch, all witch.
What good witch.
And then Homer immediately he's hugging Patty and Selma when he gets there, yeah. And they close their eyes and think of MacGyver.
Which, I mean, okay, they obviously haven't established it as canon yet.
Yeah.
With you know, Patty doesn't like to be touched, I guess.
And particularly doesn't like Homer.
Yeah, no, but I just mean the idea of like her picturing MacGyver would get her through this.
Oh, right, yeah. Does she not like to be touched in general? Is that a thing?
Well, I say they say she doesn't like to be touched as in like she's possible lesbian.
Oh, right. Jeez, so much of this goes over my head.
And then she becomes a lesbian further on in the series. So like,
oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yes. So
the next bit had me burst out laughing.
Me too.
Where it's Patty and Selma. And like, I actually really think they're very good characters, Patty and Selma. And like,
they can be.
I think like this is a good episode for them.
Because, yeah.
Like, I can't believe they. I like the fact that they're like tapping their ashtray or their ash into their cups.
Yeah.
It's like her legend will live forever. And it's like Homer's brain, like, yeah, legend of the dog faced woman. It's like, legend of the dog faced woman. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I was absolutely cracking up at this because, as far as they're concerned, it's just someone just says her legend will live forever. And then he just bursts out laughing, legend of the dog faced woman. Oh, that's good.
It's like,
so what's he thinking?
Yeah, like, what? And so
I love that
they want to stop because I believe it's Selma's butt is asleep. And another great timeless gag, I think, Homer with the just for kids names.
Keeps getting it wrong.
Almost just got, and you can actually see on the thing on the screen where it's like
where he's supposed to go.
It's very visible. Yeah, it's very visible. Just take the right, like the giant pot of gold.
Another placemat, sir.
Please. And then they get a little reference to Prince of Tides, which I never really got. Haven't seen that
Me
film.
Neither.
But I'm sure it's funny.
I'm sure people who have seen the film would get it.
And actually, I suppose we didn't talk about it. We skipped by it. The whole joke of like Lisa getting smushed by the
luggage.
Suit. How much luggage are they bringing to this fucking thing? Like,
yeah, like,
and they only seem to they go and come back in a day.
Yeah, like they're not staying over.
It's just, okay, we're going to bring 20 suitcases. And then...
like, what could they possibly need?
Ten of them at least fall off.
Do you think it was because they hoped that they would get, like, a load of stuff from Aunt Gladys' whale or something that they could bring back? Is that crazy?
You're saying they're empty suitcases? Well, I would have said, if that was the case, then don't carry loads so you can fit it in the car.
I just think it was a major plot hole, to be honest.
Yeah.
Another then major plot hole.
We get to the funeral home, and it was the priest delivering a eulogy. He was a good man. He was a kind man. He gave to his community and asked little in return. That's a woman? Oh, dear God. Well, most of what I said can still be
salvaged. Yeah. I was a fan of that. That eulogy better not show up on the bill.
I like how she calls him a bozo. Take a hike, bozo.
I love bozo as an insult. Yeah. I don't know why.
B-O-Z-O.
You hung up on some clown from the 60s, man.
So Patty gets up and she says she's going to keep it short. Gladys lived alone, died alone. I guess she could say she was a role model for her and Selma. She wasn't a rich woman.
Immediately everyone leaves. But she was rich in spirit.
The guy comes back, forget me here.
I love that voice as well. That along with hey, watch it. Your man, like, it was him. Let's get him,
Phyllis. This guy is, get him, Phyllis.
Forget me here.
They don't use him enough, I don't think.
I agree. Right. He should be as regular as like Chief Wiggum.
So Bart goes up to the coffin and he lifts up Gladys' arm and drops it. Lifts it up and drops it.
Big fan of the sound her arm makes. It's like a squishy.
I like Homer. He's like, "Don't hassle the dead boy." I like that expression. Don't hassle the dead.
Don't hassle the dead. They have eerie powers. And it's enough to make Homer it's enough to make Homer cry, the fact that he's just thinking to himself, like, I thought this was gonna be catered, and then he just starts crying because he's hungry.
Now, again, another plot hole is that they were just at a restaurant.
They were. Well, you could say that Homer.
Yeah, but come on,
I know. They could have given him a different reason to cry.
I thought there was going to be alcohol at this thing. Well, maybe that means he's a bit of a...
Yeah, well, he is that too.
Then Lisa is saying goodbye to Aunt Gladys. And she says she wish she got the time to know her better. To which you hear a little, don't worry about it. And I don't know what it is about the sound of Lisa, like, yeah. But it's because they kind of, they pull back.
Like it fades into the distance.
I think it's great.
I always love when that's really executed well.
Yeah. And it's kind of like that you're saying, like last week with Burns and Smithers in the background.
Yeah.
Shooting off.
Yeah,
the town hall, like.
I love those sort of background jokes, or like when something fades into it. Yeah. The next scene, Terry, I will stop you there, even though you are not talking at this moment. We have Lionel Hutz making his first appearance in the episode, so we will play the clip and come back to you after this.
I'm Lionel Hutz, executor of Ms. Bouvier's estate. She left a video will, so I earn my fee simply by pressing this play button. Pretty sweet, eh?
Now, let's get down to business.
To my executor, Lionel Hutz, I leave $50,000.
Mr. Hutz?
You'd be surprised how often that works. You really would.
Big fan, of course, of Lionel Hutz. Like, What I love about the clip is that he's just so open. He's just so happy that he has such an easy gig that he's like, I earn my fee simply by pressing this play button. Pretty sweet, eh? like he's talking to his buddies. Like
it's like not a bereaved family.
Yeah. And he doesn't even bother to try and hide his voice. To my executor, Lionel Hudson, $50,000.
What I love is the look on his face as it's happening. As if, like, it's almost like a real like shitty grin. Yeah, like.
It sort of wrinkles up like, please go for it.
It's working. Mr. Hertz. Like, you'd be surprised. You really would.
The collection of potato chips is what Marge gets left after that clip.
Can you name me who the celebrities that she has there?
Why, yes, I can, Terry. Right off the top of my head as well.
Go on.
Otto von Bismarck, Maurice Chevalier, right up to Jay Leno. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I love Homer. He's just like looking at it like, uh-oh.
And just continues eating. And then is it Marge's mother? Because she says to my sister, Jackie, I leave my pet iguana, yes. Jub-Jub.
I like the line, why didn't you just leave me the bowel obstruction that killed her?
Just to finish it, she to her childless nieces, Patty and Selma, I leave my grandfather clock and these words, don't die lonely like me. Raise a family and do it now. 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 Did you know
grandfather
that...
Grandfather clock, pretty sweet.
The... voice of Marge, I can't think of the actress's name, hashtag Die Hard Simpsons podcast, but she voiced five.
Julie
Kavner? Who? Yes, she voiced five characters in this scene.
She only ever voices like Marge, Patty and Selma, mom, and I assume Aunt Gladys.
See, that's why I don't like, I don't know, well, it's kind of the same for Bart as well. I was going to say, like, I'm not mad on Marge, Lisa, you know, like the ones who only have, like, one voice, you know what I mean? Like the voice of Homer has loads of voice, like, you know, does loads of voices and things like that.
Dan Castellaneta, Harry Shearer, Hank Azaria do a lot of the heavy lifting.
They really do, yeah.
Yeah. But having said that, you know, The Simpsons wouldn't be The Simpsons without Marge.
Yeah, you need everyone.
Lisa and Bart, like, I guess, like,
you have to say that, don't you?
I like the little exchange here where Patty says she wants a baby. Well, actually, I liked the bit before where there's something missing in our lives, and Patty's like, "Don't worry, we'll get that barking dog record tomorrow."
Yeah.
She wants a baby, and then Maggie, hearing this, wakes up and starts pulling at the door.
Yeah, I like that gag. Just classic pressed up Maggie against the window.
Yeah. So then we cut over to the dating service. Now, do you notice what the name it was?
I didn't. What is it?
No, I can't remember. I was hoping you'd notice.
Of course.
Well, I actually meant to say it to you. Do you know what the name of the diner was where they stopped?
I missed that one too.
It was Buzzing Sign Diner. It was like red.
Brilliant. I love those little subtle, like, you know, signs outside of something, you know, or like the name of places like that. They do it so well.
So she says she wants to have a baby before it's too late. You're looking at a free lunch, boys. Come and get it. And then she growls amorously, according to this script here, but sticks a cigarette into her mouth, a lit cigarette into her mouth, and then ties it in a knot and sticks it out on her tongue.
Disgusting. Wow. Absolutely.
Even groundskeeper Willie wouldn't go near her.
Back to the lock with you, Nessie.
Back to the lock with you, Nessie.
And she's trying everything then. She goes to the woman to get some love potion to get
Princess Amy Opal to you.
It's like, and then of course she takes it, and he's, and Selma's like, what are the magical ingredients? Mostly corn syrup, a little rubbing alcohol. It's like, you'll be lucky if it doesn't make your hair fall out, actually. And then realizing it's truth serum. No!
I love how her voice at the start is like, one drop of this love potion, yeah, and you will have any man you desire.
And then she's just like from upstate New York. Yeah, mostly corn syrup. And then she tries to hit on the local store clerk, which I thought was a good scene. So we're going to throw this clip in and come back to you after this. Oh!
Paper or plastic?
You decide. So, wearing a belt, are you?
Yep.
No suspenders for you?
I guess not.
Orange is really your color.
They make us wear this.
Shall we continue this conversation over dinner?
I'm not allowed to date customers. It's store policy.
No, it isn't.
Shut up, Arnold.
No, go for it, man.
Boy, did this bring back some memories, huh?
Centre days.
Centre days, for those who don't know out there, myself and Andy used to work together in a convenience store type situation.
You might say this podcast Centre wouldn't exist had we not.
Our formative years, you might say. I've been in that situation before.
It really did. Actually, I thought that when I was watching it, that it did seem like the sort of thing that would happen in Centra, or like some sort of equivalent of it, you know.
It's a weird, I was only thinking about it the other day, it's a weird feeling that, like, when you're really put on the spot, like,
if someone asks you to go out, like, and you're just standing there behind the till.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with the fact that you're wearing that Centra shirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. You can't be your totally confident self wearing that. Chicks, especially when it was that, like,
dig it, man.
Lime green or whatever it was.
Yeah. I remember those blue ones. Those navy blue ones. Oh,
They were the best ones.
They were the best ones.
Slick.
If you'd taken off the Centra, little gold Centra thing in the corner.
Yeah, I'd have worn that.
Worn that as a collar. Color T.
Me too. But it was a very un Simpsons gag where he's like, shut up, Arnie. He's like, no, go for it, man.
Yeah, I really like this. Like, first of all, her pickup lines are so terrible.
Yeah.
Paper plane. You're like, oh, so wearing a belt, are you?
Yeah.
No, suspenders. So he's like, guess not.
Yeah. Like, terrible.
It's like, but a very, very good little clip.
Yeah.
Really hit home for me.
Yeah, I like that one.
And then, who do we see back from the dead? It's only Hans Molman. He survived that blaze of Edgar Allan Poe's birthplace.
I don't know why.
And he's going to get his eyes tested.
Yeah, now he's getting his eyes tested after he was driving on the side of a cliff in a big truck. Who gave him that job? And why is it Edgar Allan Poe's birthplace on the back? I just find that so funny. Like, of all things, he's driving.
So it says on his driver's license that he's single, and we cut over to the two of them at a fancy restaurant. And it kind of felt like, when I was watching it felt like the Darren Brown thing. Like, I know we talked about it earlier on, where it's the same waitress. I picked up on it. I was like, why is she in a diner uniform if it's supposed to be a fancy restaurant?
Oh, so she was in the diner uniform as well?
She was in the diner uniform, yeah.
Oh.
And I was like, why is she like that? And it's kind of like, when, do you ever watch that, like, live stage show with Darren Brown?
Yeah.
And he, like, I remember watching it, and I was like, why did he say that? Ah, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, like,
he's
dropping the subliminal hints.
Yeah.
In. This is like, oh, well, this is our running joke. We're going to put this in throughout the episode.
Jesus.
Little joke for the writers for themselves. Right?
I can't believe I missed that. It sounds so obvious now that
I
you
like
say.
It. So what are the items that Hans is reading out there?
Cold biscuits, chicken, Yellow mailman. You're reading the wine list, sir. Very good.
So Selma is driving Hans home, and I really like her car. It really suits her.
What kind of car does she have? I'm missing all the fine points this week.
It's just like a green sort of like just, bulky.
Just suits her.
It's like a dark lime green, almost like an army vehicle. It's like very boxy. Just suits her.
Yeah.
And Paddy like. And he's like, I don't know how to thank you for dinner. To which Selma replies, use your imagination.
Like, is she really into this? Like, look at him. Like, she's so desperate. Use your imagination.
He puckers up and, like, it's such an iconic image of those
lips right coming to the camera. Ah. Yeah.
And but I like the little she has, you know, the imagination of what her life's going to be like.
Yeah.
And the little kids, I just think the kids are so cute.
Yeah.
They're bumping into each other, falling out the window.
I did like that actually.
Giant glasses.
I did actually get a big laugh from the one where like they're all bumping into each other, and then just in the background, one just falls out the first floor window. Classic.
Little nerd lingers. Yeah. She's like, throws him out of the car. Get out of my car, and drives off. Not even at his house.
This isn't my house.
I'm sure that's not the last we'll see of old Hans Moment. the family and Paddy, for some reason, are sitting together watching another ad for Duff Gardens.
Where roaming gangs aren't a big problem anymore.
Featuring the clean-shaven sound of Hooray for Everything. Talented little group that are responsible for they do a version of our exit theme.
Of course.
Yeah. And then Bart asks, can we go to Duff Gardens this weekend? To which Homer replies, yeah, unless another ant dies.
It's heartless.
Yeah.
Absolutely heartless.
Yeah, I mean, he's actually not nearly as bad as he has been in the earlier episodes of this season.
Like the first like up to three or four episodes, he was just like an actual genuine prick. Whereas now he's just kind of like, that's old Homer.
Yeah. So Sam was back early from her date. She was so upset she ate a jar of expired olives.
Yeesh.
Now, this is vintage Lisa as well. She's like, why don't you consider artificial insemination? And I'm like,
yeah.
Why don't you fuck off?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Like, why don't you just fuck off? It's like, do I hear the sound of butting in? It's got to be little Lisa Simpson. Springfield's answer to a question no one asked.
And Homer's like, no, you gotta be pretty lame to make out a robot. Marge whispers something in his ear, like, I know that.
I was gonna get crass for a second. You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and do it. I only recently learned the term. I was reading some news story about some, I don't know what it was. Or I think it might have been your man, the footballer, Adam Johnson. And it was like,
yeah.
And he was accused of digital penetration. And I was like, what the fuck is digital penetration? And it was like, something to do with like some online thing? How can that be? And all this stuff. And then it was actually like, I had to go and look it up. And I was like, oh, right. Like your digits, like your fingers or something like that. And I was like, oh, I never got that. Did you know that?
No, what? No.
I'm sorry.
Wait, you gotta be
over 18 for this. It gets a little blue. But he was accused.
I think you're gonna have to change it from clean, can't we?
Yeah, I know. We still have a clean rating on iTunes. We can remove that easily. Listen, I don't really know how we get back on track after that, so...
Well, yeah. We're going to go to the sperm bank.
Perfect.
Did you notice what their slogan was?
I did not.
Put your sperm in our hands.
Brilliant. That's a really good one. Right? That's a really good one.
Yeah. And they're basically, they're at the sperm bank, and she says, how does she know she's getting quality? And the doctor says, oh, don't worry, all our donors have to pass a rigorous screening process. Who is it?
None other than Barney Gumbel.
All done. Oh, what a beautiful little girl. And then they all, it's like a production line, if
yeah,
a pun, of little nice. Barney's like,
That's how Barney makes his beer money.
Yeah, do right, that and medical experiments.
Of course.
Yeah. So they're at Selma and Patty's apartment, and they're reading a catalog, 101 Frozen Pops. Now, can you tell me two of the characters that are on the catalog? Two of, they've already been in the show.
Already been on the show.
Yeah. One of them has been on our show, on our podcast. The other one has not. But he was previously, I think season two, maybe he might have appeared.
Ooh. Not Leonard Nimoy, right?
Nope, not Leonard Nimoy.
Michael Jackson?
Nope. Oh, that would have been good, though.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
It's Troy McClure, which is funny because, you know, they're going to get married later on.
Oh, yeah.
Spoilers.
Nice.
And the other one was Jacques, which makes perfect sense.
Jacques?
Yeah.
Is he the one who was
It's teaching? Not quite breakfast, it's not quite lunch.
Yeah. Throw it at you.
Albert Brooks himself.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So there were the two.
Yeah,
I think they're on the front. But Marge says there's a Nobel Prize winner, an NBA All-Star. Ooh, one of the Sweat Hogs.
I checked. It's not Horseshack. Oh.
What is that? I don't get that.
I don't know. It's just a funny name.
Yeah, it's pretty funny though.
And they're sort of going back. It was like, are you sure you want to have a baby this way? It's like, yeah, sure. Yeah. It's like, I like the next one where they give an example of her bad experiences ordering out of catalogs. It's like, remember that mail order husband? It's like, oh, you look just like your picture. Like, cardboard cutout just falls into the door.
What I like about this joke is there's a knock on the door. So somebody has delivered the cardboard cutout, knocked on the door, and then, like, legged it down the hallway. To get out of the way, like, to not be seen, like.
A child can really change your life. Oh, no, even, this is a bit of an interesting trivia, but when they say, why do you want to have a baby so bad? I got a lot of love to give, and right now my only outlet is my ham radio. That's actually gibberish that it's speaking. Normally they go and they do, like, you know, some other language or something like that, but they actually were just talking gibberish on it.
It doesn't say, I have a ham radio.
What? On your one?
I said, no, it doesn't say in the subtitles,
no.
I have a ham radio.
You know? Oh, yeah, it does, yeah. But the actual, whatever it is that they're speaking, is gibberish, apparently.
Andy, I'm going to stop you right there. I erroneously said there was only two people on... on the 101 Frozen Pops.
Folks, please stay with us.
I forgot to mention the stud muffin that is Professor Frink.
Really?
Yeah, he was in there too.
Is he even featured in it yet?
I don't think we've come across him yet.
Huh. Was he in earlier seasons?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I'm sure.
I guess if they want super genius babies.
Hey, you could do a lot worse.
They sure could.
So, basically, Selma is saying, after the ham radio gag, she says, it'll change your life. Patty says you'll have to give up smoking. She says she'll chew. No man will ever want you. To which she replies, all I got now is sperm in a cup.
Was that bit always in it?
Yeah, that was it.
Because I remember when I was watching it, like for this episode, I was like, huh. I didn't expect that.
And I always remember them going back and forth like,
The next scene, Terry, is they finally get to go to Duff Gardens. Well, some of them do. But we will play the clip and come back to you after this.
Come on, come on, get the lid out. Come on, Dad, I want to go to Duff Gardens. Mom, tell him we're going to Duff Gardens.
Oh, great. Dad's dead.
Oh.
Have you been eating that sandwich again?
Sandwich.
Jeez, we hardly made a dent in that 10-foot hoagie.
Oh, give it a good hope.
You've been eating that thing for a week. I think the mayonnaise is starting to turn.
Two more feet, and I can fit it in the fridge.
Homer, I found this behind the radiator. I really think you should throw it away.
Suggestion noted. Marge, I'd like to be alone with the sandwich for a moment.
Are you going to eat it?
Yes.
Oh. You look terrible.
I don't care. I'm going to Duff Gardens. So cold.
Your lips are turning blue. I think you better stay home.
No! Duff Gardens! Hurrah!
The whole gag of the sandwich just getting more and more rotten as the weeks, like the actual weeks go on. I just think it's funny. Like, it looks so disgusting. It's like, I know you can't see it
if
you're listening.
How good did the original one look?
I know, the original looks so good. But the very end of the clip, I thought was just so funny because he's really trying. But like, even when you're watching the episode, he's just so white and he's like, Duff Gardens, hurrah! There's something about an extended horn honk that's always just funny.
My favorite is, it's like, Marge, I'd like to be alone with the sandwich for a moment. are you gonna eat it? It's like, pause, like,
yes.
And it's just after, like, I don't know where he got it from again, because he was lying in bed dead, and then it just cuts back to him holding it after the little flashback.
That was actually a funny scene as well, when they pull the covers and he's just there, he just looks dead and they just don't react.
But I noticed, because like, Marge is sitting up in bed and the covers are just up to Homer's head.
So what was she doing before they ran in?
Yeah.
Like she's just sitting there, like, not a bother.
She was digitally penetrating herself.
Oh man, now we have to leave that bit in. We discussed this, and I said no.
Oh, getting giddy.
Oh god. Anyway.
So basically then Selma says she is going to take the kids to Duff Gardens. They're gonna have fun, aren't they, kids?
I'll ride with Satan himself.
That's the spirit.
I like that.
I always like this.
Oh, go on.
Lisa is like, bye dad, don't eat any solids. He's like, but I love solids.
Did that come out on mic?
That you snotting, was it?
That was below the equator, Terry. This podcast is really going off the rails. I'm sorry, everybody.
Homer starts giving out to the sandwich.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, I can't stay mad at you. And That is the end of Act 2.
Ooh, official.
So we cut back. We cut back, and Lisa, Bart, and Selma are approaching Duff Gardens, and they see the Duff Pyramid.
I don't know why that name is so funny. The Duff Pyramid.
It contains so much aluminium, it would take 5 men to lift it. 22 immigrant laborers died during its construction.
Plenty more where that came from.
Excuse me?
Race?
Excuse me?
Yeah. Nice little race this or some sort of...
This is Trump's America they're living in right now, I tell you that.
And then we get introduced for the first time to the 7 Duffs. Can you name...
They're tipsy.
Yes, though. Yeah.
And queasy.
And they're surly and remorseful.
I love how surly just pushes remorseful away.
He's just a jerk to everybody. Like, get out of here.
Take a picture. It'll last longer. Get out of here.
The next scene I thought was actually quite a funny one as well, where they're going to visit Abraham Lincoln, tell the story of Duff, I guess. But we'll play the clip and come back to you after this.
47 years ago, we took the finest hops and barley to brew a refreshing, full-bodied lager. Whoa! I'm rapping AB, and I'm here to say, if you want to drink beer, Duff's the only way. I said the only way. Breakdown!
This is a disgrace.
Settle down. Anything this bad has to be educational.
Bart!
Let's see if they wore underwear back then. Yeah!
Well, that was quite the rap there by old AB.
And the beatboxing,
like,
as well.
My favorite bit is the end. It's like, breakdown. And he's crushing the can inside of his head.
But plus as well, like, what was up? Like, it doesn't quite catch it in the audio, I think. But like when Bart's like saying, let's see if they wore underwear back then. And then like he pulls it down. And then like the machine turns around. And like the eyes light up red, like, a big smirk on his face.
Like, I think it's like supposed to be, I think it's next year he'll come to it, is Itchy and Scratchy Land. But that's like taken off Westworld. I think that was supposed to be a reference to Westworld as well.
There's so many references that I just, because I haven't seen so many classic things, that just go right over my head.
Did you not watch the show, Westworld? No,
I watched like the first 2 episodes. I haven't gone back to it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. I will go back to it. It wasn't that bad that I was like, nah, but I don't know. Just haven't gone back to it yet.
Yeah, so I think it's that or like Terminator or whatever.
Oh,
but
yeah.
There's no follow-up on it. Like, well, there is actually. Sorry, what am I talking about? No follow-up on it trying to kill him.
Yeah.
I like this. We're back at home, and Homer is wearing the foam dome, but with Pepto Bismol.
Oh yeah.
Yes. What are the chances of getting sick on a Saturday? 1,000 to 1.
The videos that Marge rents to cheer him up: boxing's greatest weigh-ins.
Excellent. What is Yentl about, Cantwell?
Well, Terry, it deals with a bookish young woman's efforts to enter a rabbinical school.
Sounds great.
Oh my god, you're delirious.
And a joke that's always stuck in me, we're back over in Duff Gardens, but we're at the souvenir stand.
Bart trying on the beer goggles.
Beer goggles, yeah. It's like a love song. I was like, you're churning the pants off me.
So what'd you say, Selma?
I said, take off those damn glasses.
I love the fact that it's the polar opposite. Like, she's like really annoyed. The exact opposite of what he was looking. I said, take off those damn glasses.
So then Selma is like, oh, look, a bench. It's like, why don't you sit down and what do you get your old aunt a beer smoothie? Now, been watching I've watched an Niece and the Nephew on a Saturday afternoon. I know this feeling.
Oh boy. Oh yes.
You just want to take a load off.
There's times when I literally, because all Joni wants to do is run around. She doesn't want to sit still. And it took me a long time to realize that I could just say, no, I'm sitting down for a minute. For the first 2 years. And she's like, okay, let's do that. Let's do this. And then I realized, like, oh, hold on. I can just sit down here. And then she'll eventually just sit down beside me or something. But yeah, a sit down is essential.
Yeah, well, it looked like she really needed it.
Yeah.
And then they drag her up off her feet and they're going to go do some more stuff, and they join a line and it says, if the line's this long, it's got to be good.
Yeah.
And we fly all the way up. What is it? It's only the complaint line.
Yeah. What did she say? Get bent.
Yeah. Old lunch lady Doris there.
Of course.
And Homer and Marge are back at the house. They're watching Yentl together.
That Yentl puts the she in yeshiva.
I love how it's like, oh, Yentl.
Yeah.
Coming from, again, I think it's Phil Hartman doing the voice.
And we also get Phil Hartman appearing again as Marge, feeling saucy, rented another tape in case he felt better. The Erotic Adventures of Hercules. Now. Oh.
I'll let you go. Go ahead.
I normally don't spot these, but I believe, Terry, that this was one of those you may have seen me in such features as, and one of them was The Erotic Adventures of Hercules. I don't remember ever seeing one that was mentioned in a previous episode, if you know what I mean. I'm sure I have many times, but this is the first time it actually stuck with me.
But do you know what episode it was mentioned in?
Yes, I do, Terry. From Ooh. Mr. Plow. Right?
You know, yeah. What was Troy McClure doing?
You had to keep going. No, I didn't.
Yeah, I did.
What was it?
It was when he was hosting Carnival of the Stars his giant stilts. Trusty got his face ripped off by tigers, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
With Norman Fell as Zeus. So we're back to Duff Gardens, and we're on the It's a Small World kind of ride, the Duff Beer ride, I guess.
Yeah, that Duff Beer song is just going round and round my head all day.
So creepy, though, as well.
Duff Beer for me, Duff Beer for you.
I really like Bart's delivery, like, I want to get off. Like, you can't get off. We got 5 more continents to visit.
And Bart daring Lisa to drink the water. She's like, I'm not sure that is water. Check out.
So, eventually, Selma orders Bart to shut up and Lisa to drink the water.
Yeah.
And she takes a sip, and then, jeez, I love the animation here.
Yeah.
And just the whole thing where it gets really fucking
psychedelic.
Trippy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just basically full on tripping.
Yeah. But I just love how it's like, I have a duff, a duff, a
duff,
a duff. And it's like, you know. And then she like looks to Selma. And like we were talking about earlier on with the psychedelic artwork, she asks, oh, what's wrong? Put your head right here, and the like music is like, like really like.
That's brilliant. It's so well animated.
Turns into a monster on the shoulder. Yeah. It's gonna eat her. Like, and then it cuts just like you see her swinging an oar at the two of them. What is in that water?
Yeah, I know. Surely that's not safe.
I used to think it was just beer, but then it was like, you know, beer an 8-year-old maybe, but.
Yeah, you know what? When I was a kid, I thought beer too, but surely not.
On subsequent rewatches, I think, and she even says something later on that makes me think it's not beer.
Yeah, like seems like a health hazard if anything.
Yeah. So Homer and Marge are Homer's feeling better and they're watching the X-rated video.
Terry, let me stop you there. We have a clip. We will not say it. We will play it.
Hercules, the Cyclops tore off my clothes.
Mitch, you're doing a bang-up job.
Thank you, sir.
Whoa, that isn't good.
Stop the ride!
I'll have to ask my supervisor.
Better stop it.
Can't you do something?
Hey, Surly only looks out for one guy. Surly.
Sorry, Surly.
Shut up.
Don't blame these kids. It's not their fault. I think their father is missing a chromosome.
Miss Bouvier, while we were rescuing this boy, hoodlums made off with 3 bumper cars. And I don't think George Washington will ever be the same.
We found this one swimming naked in the fermentarium.
I am the Lizard Queen!
Give her this, and this, and then these.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
No, I'm not a doctor.
One of the big laughs of the episode was at the very start of that clip. Of Hercules, the Cyclops tore off my clothes. It's just a laugh on him.
I like how they gave the patented Troy McClure gut as well. He still had his gut.
Slightly out of shape Hollywood actor.
Yeah, yeah. It's great.
I was also a big fan. I'm always a fan of the delivery, like your man, where he's like, Miss Bouvier, while we were rescuing this boy, hoodlums made off with 3 bumper cars.
Yeah. Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
And then I like, again, Phil Hartman coming in after Lisa is out of her mind. We found this one swimming in the fermentarium.
I am the Lizard Queen. The Lizard Queen, by the way, was... a reference to a poem that Jim Morrison wrote, apparently. The Lizard something. I
figured. And, that's one I use all the time in real life when I'm giving people, if I ever give them, like, Panadol or anything like that. And they're like, thanks. It's like, oh, I'm not a doctor.
That is actually as well, yeah. That's a line that I would use quite regularly.
Take this and this and some of these.
And I like the fact that he's almost like, you know, like he's like, no, I'm not a doctor. Like he's just like annoyed at them, like.
But he's in the white coat.
Yeah. I'm not a doctor.
We cut back to the house, and Marge is cooking dinner when the mighty Homercles appears. And he tells Marge to come to Homercles, but Marge can't because the beans will burn. You don't want the beans to burn, can't
you? No, you certainly don't want the beans to burn. The beans will burn.
I assume she's making like chili beans.
I'm not a bean man myself. Are you?
No.
Well, I like beans like from a fry, but I don't like healthy beans that people eat.
I'm not a baked bean man, but I would be a kidney bean man.
The opposite.
They're going in a chili or burrito. I'm getting a burrito bowl, some sort of beans are going in there, my friend. Pinto or a black bean.
Ooh. You know what? Forget what I just said. I love beans.
So Homer lifts her up over his shoulder and is going to bring her up to the bedroom.
The kids just walk in.
And like, I just like how he drops her. I'm like, hi kids, how is stuff going? Yeah. And Lisa, which all but confirms our suspicion, says, can't talk, coming down. He's like, oh, okay.
Nice. You know, I thought the next scene was actually quite a nice one when when Selma's like, how do you do it, Homer? And he's like, well, you take an ordinary bed sheet, fold it around this. And she's like, no, I mean raising kids. And she's like, I just couldn't cut it today and all this sort of stuff. But like, even like the fact that like Homer...
It's kind of sad.
Yeah. And like Homer's even like holding her hand and all. And like, you know, it's just
but
like...
But they don't resolve it. Like, she's like... Homer doesn't reassure her anything like that. Like, just she substitutes the kids for Jub Jub.
Yeah, that's how the episode ends. It's like, oh, Jub Jub.
And then, you make me feel. You make me
the voice of an angel.
Yeah. And that is how we finish up.
That is that.
Yeah.
Shall we get on to ratings?
Ratings!
How do you find the defender?
So, Andy, what did you make of this episode?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was...
I am with you.
It was a surprise, almost, because it was one of those... Not a forgotten about episode, because when you're watching it, you're like, oh, what an iconic bit, or like, oh, I remember this, and all this sort of stuff. But, yeah, when I was watching it, I think I laughed more on this one than I have done, than I did even on the monorail one previously. I'm really finding that these episodes, like I keep saying every week, I'll I'm beating it to death here, but the ones that I don't remember are usually the funniest ones. So, yeah, I liked it. I liked the fact that there was something of like a subplot, you know, the last few episodes there hadn't been. And there's a bit, you saw that there's like the Selma and the kids versus like Homer and Marge and all this sort of stuff.
I like that. Like,
yeah, I love when there's just other stuff going on as well. Really helps with the story, I think, or helps with the flow of it. But out of 10, Terry, if you're asking... I would give this
surely am.
An 8.3 out of 10.
Ooh.
That's what comes to mind now.
Who's your MVP, did you say?
I did not, but my MVP would have to be... Drum roll. You know what? you know who I'm going to say.
Of course I do.
If Phil Hartman's in it, he's the MVP. Lionel Hutz. Who's yours?
My MVP is Homer.
Nice.
Legend of the dog-faced woman. he had a lot. He had a load of zingers.
He did.
I like that little montage with him with the sandwich. Is really good.
Yeah.
You know,
and that dog face woman just, gag was actually like the biggest laugh of the episode for me.
Yeah, even like the whole thing with the placemats and all. Please, you know, there's a lot of good stuff going on. I really agree with you in that. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode, and I kind of only when I saw which one it was, I was like, oh,
yeah,
it's okay. And then as I was watching it, I was like, oh, I actually really liked this episode from when I was younger. Like,
yeah.
I think it's really, really good. It's, like you say, good pacing.
Yeah.
When they got to Duff Gardens, I was like, oh, this is going to be like every other episode where it's like they're only there for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's closer to, you know, 7 or 10, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe because they're jumping back and forth.
And that's what you can do when you have those subplots. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like they're only there for 2 or 3 minutes, like,
yeah,
you know,
even though there might only be like 2 or 3 minutes of footage of them there, or not footage, but you know, scenes, but like the fact that it's spliced with Homer and Marge back and forth, it just extends it, works better, I think.
Yeah, so, yeah, very, very good. If I'm gonna give it a mark out of 10, I'll give it a nice 8.5.
Ooh, 8.5, you say.
8.5 grandfather clocks in the back of the car.
Nice. 10. Yeah, it was a solid one. And I sort of now, I'm going into them. If it's one that I can't quite remember, I'm like, yeah, bring it on now. Because like, I don't think like, oh, this one. It's like they've really hit their stride. And it's sort of like, you know, they've already got the momentum now, and they're just sort of going to the Simpsons that we all know and love.
And even though there was a good lot of Bart and Lisa in it, you know,
yeah, it was still okay.
Yeah, which is a trend we noticed that, like, they're getting on our nerves quite a bit. Yeah. But like,
they didn't
overshadow or didn't steal. Yeah, the episode. So that's that episode wrapped up. I guess we should get our plugs in before we go on to what we're watching next week.
Yes, indeed, Terry. Where can they find us?
Well, you can find us over on Facebook at Put It In H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. Give us a like, or tell your friends to give us a like. You know, all that good stuff.
Text everybody in your contact list, and you tell them to give us a listen. Huh, T?
Yeah, you tell them, see. Right, boys. And you can also contact us via email at putitinhpod@gmail.com.
Are you looking forward to that email from Shane? Specifically.
I better hear about these, you know, buy rates for advertising blocks.
Fill us in. You can also find us on Twitter at putitinhpodcast. And thank you to everyone who's followed us in the last few weeks. We got a good number of new followers. And thank you to Niall again for your question. And thanks to everyone who follows us on SoundCloud. And
I was going to say, we're also on SoundCloud. And yes, pretty sir. Much any good podcast application
yes,
on
sir.
Your mobile device.
And iTunes.
Also on iTunes.
Yes, sir.
Give us a rating and review. Help with the algorithm.
We have some very good reviews, if I may say. Thank you to those people who left them. But yes, what episode are we watching next week? Do you know, Terry?
We have got Season 4, Episode 14, Brother from the Same Planet.
My God, am I looking forward to this one.
Andy, I'd hug you if the bigger brothers did that. I didn't want to say kiss you, man.
You can say it.
I know it's 2018 now. No, it's 2018 now, but no.
Please, say it, Terry. We discussed this, and I said no. I thought I made my feelings clear in Boston. anyway,
I was gonna try and fit in one more digital penetration joke, but we should just
leave it. I was trying to gloss over it.
It fucking stayed in, man.
All right, I'll keep it in.
All right. Anyway, well, thanks everybody for listening, and yes. We'll see you all next week. And thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Terry. Pleasure as always.
Yeah.
Boom.
your friendly disc jockey trying to tell you it's time to get down, baby. You can't think of all the wrong and all the wrong of the world. You can't think of all the bad things you do. You just keep dancing.